What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Cher Gottman is the New York City wingwoman. You can find her online at nycwingwoman.com. And if you're dating or you're looking to date and try to find somebody, Cher is the woman for you. There are so many beautiful, educated women with great jobs that can't seem to find the right guy, or any guy for that matter. Cher, I have to read you this email. It says, "Hi, Anna, I love your show. I'm a teacher, and I was talking to another single, also divorced teacher, and we think that you and Raven would be able to help us with our non-existent dating scene."
Okay.
"Can you do some kind of dating game or something like that on the air to help us out? Just an idea. It's tough out there." I think that the dating apps have kind of fallen to the wayside, right? Or no?
Dating apps, in my opinion, are still out there. They're still great, but you have to really leverage the technology to your advantage. It means optimizing your online dating profile, choosing photos that show your personality and interests, but you also have to be clear about your intentions and what you're looking for. You don't want to just swipe endlessly. That gets boring and it gets old fast. Where do you go, right? Where do you go when you're wanting to meet someone? First of all, we all have to focus on self-improvement, right? Mental, physical, and emotional health, and making yourself a priority. Because when you feel good about yourself, you're going to attract the right kind of people.
You know, I think, Cher, that a lot of people, you know, they think that just filling out the app is the work itself. But like, basically, you got to be your own PR agent.
Yes, you are your own PR team. And when you are on the date, it's not just about, you know, talking about yourself, but really making sure, is this someone that I even really am enjoying? A lot of times you're going to know early on whether this is going to be a relationship that you enjoy or not. So kind of weed through the boring ones early on and figure out what it is you're looking for.
Here's another conversation that I had. If you don't think that he's attractive, but he's a great conversation, do you go on that second and third date?
Yeah. I am 100% for going on the second date, because looks change. And honestly, when you start to get to know someone, their personality can really play a role in how you see them.
Listen, you could pull him in for one of those Julia Roberts makeover montage moments too, just like you get in the movies, right?
Yes. You know what? That's so funny that you say that. My dad showed up wearing purple pants when they first met. My mom took one look at him and was like, "Oh my gosh, you know what? She fixed that very quickly." And now he has good
up.
Style.
Can't
and they have the best relationship for 40 years.
That was Paul, my husband, with his socks.
You had a sock affliction?
Yeah, the worst socks. Okay. Cher Gottman is the New York City wing woman. So one last thing. Raven and I were talking earlier because Raven thinks that it's hard for men to approach women because no matter what you say, you sound creepy.
Let's say, you know, you see somebody at the gym you'd like to talk to, or at the grocery store or whatever. There's a lot of situations where it's just like you come off creepy.
So what's a non-creepy thing that a man can say to a woman, or a woman can say to a man, where it doesn't seem threatening or awkward, that can just start a conversation?
I think the most important thing is stop worrying about what it is you're saying. It's all about how you say it and the confidence that you show when you say it. So just starting that conversation, going up to the person, it doesn't matter what you say. It's all about the confidence that you show. And we're going to be excited to meet you. If we're single, we're looking and we're hoping to meet someone great, especially by chance.
Forget the one-liner. Just say hello.
Say hi.
Starts with a hi.
Yeah, I think you're somebody I'd like to talk to. You know, that kind
yes.
of thing. Yes.
Well, don't say that.
Yeah, I love your smile. Something about you is
yes.
really intriguing.
I see kindness in you. Something like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
But I'm not going to lie, though, Cher. Somebody walked up to me and said, "Hi, I see kindness in you." I'd be like,
"All right, that's a little creepy."
Wait, take three steps back.
That's not genuine, right?
Not genuine. Cher Gottman, she is the New York City wing woman. You can find her online at nycwingwoman.com. Thank you so much. You hear the term trauma dumping lately. It seems like the new hot words or phrase that everyone's been saying. But what exactly does that mean? Clinical social worker Kelly Kellerman. Kelly, what is trauma dumping?
Thanks for asking. Yeah, it does seem to be the hot topic out there. Usually what it infers is that someone will dump highly personal, emotional information on someone who most likely is not willing to hear that, or maybe was even ready or prepared to accept that information.
Yeah.
So this is like when somebody goes, how's it going? And you go, you know what? Let's get real for a minute. And you tell them 10 things that are bothering you.
Except you were just buying a Diet Coke at the convenience store and you weren't ready to have that conversation with the cashier.
Exactly. The deer in headlights and, oh my God, what did I just walk into?
Are there some people that are more prone to doing this? Because I don't want to pigeonhole, but I feel like I have found that it's a lot younger people that have been doing this, like in their early 20s and mid-20s, that I feel like are much more oversharing than others.
Maybe because of their life and social media and the access to just sharing information in a different way. So I think they maybe feel like it's more comfortable.
To be fair, I mean, nowadays, we want to make sure that we're respectful of people when they're talking about their feelings. I mean, we know that we've buried that for far too long, right? So how do you handle this?
Well, I think if we think about how we would prepare ourselves ahead of time and we sort of know what we want to do, that helps. And I think it depends on everybody's comfort level, but I think we can have empathy and just be a kind human. And if it's something that we are not willing to comment on, we can say, I can't help you. Would you like me to help you find somebody that might be more professional to handle this?
I found that if somebody asks me how I'm doing, I'm always like, I'm great. Everything's awesome. I mean, obviously, that's not true. I find very few people in life that everything is awesome and great all the time. But I have been so conditioned to that is my response. Is there something beneficial about being the one that does the trauma dumping?
Oh, definitely. I don't think we want to, you know, run around like a bunch of robots saying, you know, I'm great. Everything's fine. I think, you know, your audience, if it's a good friend that's asking how you're doing, you know, you can be honest and say, maybe, you know, this is not my greatest day right now. I think it's also important to just say, yeah, you know, maybe it's not my best day, but it's going to get better, and allow the other person the space to be able to chime in if they want to and get more information.
Okay, so Kelly, we're going to do some role playing right here.
Yeah,
let's
do
that. You tell me what you do in this situation. So I come into work like I do every day, and I sit down. I'm like, all right, Raven, what's going on?
Well, you know, I'm really upset. Turns out that I'm the first guy on the planet to develop this rash. It's disgusting. It smells. It's pus-filled. Let me show you this rash right here.
Now,
I got to show you this.
How do I? What do I do in that situation when he's clearly oversharing?
A very big overshare. Man, it sounds like you are very uncomfortable and not feeling good right now. I think you need to take that to your doctor.
Because my response is going to be like, ew, Raven! Mm-hmm. Ew!
All right. Try out this variant, all right?
Morning, Raven. All right, what's going on today?
Man, I've got this rash on my foot, and doctors don't know what it is. I'm going to cut my foot off.
No.
I've got a machete right now my car, duct tape, and a tourniquet. I'm cutting my foot off.
I have a phone number for you to call. But then I would have to have a phone number ready, which I clearly don't.
I mean, you did really good there.
I feel like
Kelly was going to answer that tell us what to do there. But,
yeah.
But you did good.
I was trying to figure out how to get away from the man with the machete. Oh,
right.
My goodness.
True.
What are you doing with a machete in your car?
It's in the car. I'm going to take this coffee pour it right on my ankle, numb
it
up.
Where are you living
getting
that you need to have
today?
A machete in your car?
Just another day at work, Kelly. Just another day at work. Kelly Kellerman is a clinical social worker all about trauma dumping. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. Do you return Tupperware? What's your Tupperware return policy? So, Raven, my mom always gives me a hard time because I don't return any of her Tupperware. Like, she gives it to me, and I'm like, nope, that's mine now.
Send you home with leftovers, stuff like that. And as soon as you get it, you know, with the choice pieces, I'm keeping that.
Yeah.
That's going to be mine.
Now she's gotten to the point where she won't give me any of the good Tupperware. She only gives me the reusable Chinese containers. Yeah, like she washes the Chinese containers that the Chinese food comes in.
Right.
And then she'll load that up and she sends me home with that.
Yeah.
That's her way around it.
Every time I run through the store, my wife and I, she has to explain to me the difference between Tupperware and takeaways. Because I'm just like, let everybody have them.
Right.
Every time I see a big box of various sizes, I want to buy them because I want the world to have our Tupperware.
Well, I'll be honest with you, is that I agree with you. I think that if you give me anything in a plastic container.
It's mine now.
It's mine. Like... You shouldn't have put it in that. You should have put it in a flimsy paper plate if you didn't want it back. Like, I'm going to eat it. Like, well, it's fine.
But there, I know that there is a difference because, again, it's been explained to me that there is a big difference between, like, regular containers that you keep and even more so Tupperware being the brand Tupperware. Like, it's insane. People don't want to give that up.
But so there's a lot of gray area here on what you're supposed to return and what you're not. But
okay.
What I read online, and this is what floored me and the whole reason why we're even bringing it up today, is that if somebody gives you something disposable plastic, you're supposed to keep it. If it's glass or ceramic, you should return it. So like I've always believed, plastic is mine to keep forever. If
sure.
you spent too much money, invested too much money, and then you gave it to me, I'm sorry. That was your own fault.
So if it's a $30 piece of Tupperware that you bought at some party 1,000 years ago and it still serves you well, if they packed up a piece of cake for you, it doesn't matter. It was their fault.
Well, I mean, now
their
I got to wash it. But this
I want to make sure I understand.
Yes, but this is where it gets crazier. It says not only should you return like glass containers or ceramic containers,
sure.
It is considered rude to return Tupperware empty. So you're supposed to, before you give back that Tupperware.
Now you're supposed to load it with things and send it back.
I'm like, what?
It feels like trade between like old villages or something, a dowry. Right? And next year our children shall marry.
You gave me this delicious eggplant parmesan and now you expect me to bake some cookies and put it back in
right,
here?
Right, that's the thing too, is if they give you something delicious right now, like you've got to do something delicious back.
Right.
I like how you went cookie, though. You went dinner to dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah, you switched genres. That was good.
I don't know. My policy has always been, which my mother says is incorrect, is that if you give me something that comes in a plastic container, I don't care what it is. If it's plastic,
yeah,
it's mine. It's mine forever. Whether I decide to throw it away or if I decide to store it and keep it for future use, that's up to me. But if you gave it to me, that's it. I'm not going to make a trek across town and give it back to you with some oatmeal raisin cookies.
Again, you have my support on takeaways, but special plastic, I feel like, is different. Feel like I need it back. Feel like I need the special plastic back. What if it's one of those ones that's like vented too?
Oh,
definitely need that back. It's fancy.
Definitely keeping that.
It has a handle. Oh, it's coming back here.
1-800-330-9999. We're going to take the first five callers. What is your Tupperware protocol? Again, that's 1-800-330-9999. Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. What is your Tupperware return policy? I never return it. If it comes plastic at my house and you gave it to me in any kind of plastic, it's mine to keep forever. My mom was yelling at me the other day because I've never returned anything of hers ever.
I feel like there's different levels. I only know this because my wife tells me every single time she tells me that we have no Tupperware and offered to buy a set. She's like, that's just cheap stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your Tupperware policy?
Hi there. We were always taught to return it with something new in it.
I can't believe it. Like, your parents must have been saints. I never heard of such a thing. It's got to go back with something in it.
That was always the rule in our house. So it always had to have something, whether it was a dessert or a dinner. It didn't matter.
Huh.
So if somebody gave you a dinner, it went back with a dessert. If somebody gave you a dessert, did it go back with breakfast? I wish I had more time to go over this slide scale because I'm completely interested. Thank
two hard-boiled eggs in
a
Tupperware.
Gosh, right.
Here you go.
I have so many questions.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your Tupperware protocol?
You return it. It's vintage. I gave someone cookies this weekend, and I expect my tray back.
See, put them on notice. Well done, ma'am. Use the radio for your convenience.
What's the proper turnaround time for the return of the Tupperware container?
Good question.
1 week.
Wow.
After that, you're stoned in the center court.
I've been holding on Tupperware for like 6 years now.
I know.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your Tupperware protocol?
My Tupperware protocol has always been to return it if you want it refilled. So I have some people I cook for at work. And they used to leave me Tupperware on my desk because they knew if I didn't have anything to put the food in, they wouldn't get any back.
Wait a minute.
They want it refilled and they want more food. They got to give the container.
Hold
back.
On a minute. For people to get free food from you, all they need to do is
bring
leave a container and leave
right.
it on your desk.
You are the best
That's
coworker
it.
Ever.
That is sweet right there.
Everyone calls me Mama Right because I'm always cooking for people.
I love
wow.
it. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your Tupperware protocol?
Wow. You should return it with something in there, Anna. It's just common courtesy.
Even if it's a cheap Tupperware?
We didn't even know. Well, you got to put something cheap in there.
Just give them something back, and you definitely return it. But if it's flimsy and they tell you, oh, I don't want it back, that's different.
Okay.
All right.
I feel like I hear a lot of I don't want to give it back in my circles.
Anna and Raven, what's your Tupperware protocol?
Well, I think it's even more layered than yours or than your mother's. So definitely, like Raven said, if it's actual Tupperware, like the brand Tupperware, you got to give that back.
It's like a Corvette of like plastics. I know. It's got to come back.
Those bowls can be $30, $40.
What?
Those are expensive.
Don't bring that to my house.
Yeah.
It's like dropping gold at your house. Right?
Then there's like the Rubbermaid where you buy them in the big box. And you get like multiples. Those, if we give you that, we'll specifically say, hey, next time I see you, I want that back.
Wow.
The Ziploc containers, like that you buy for, you know, you get like three or four in a pack.
Yeah.
Those we all buy and we keep for the purpose of giving leftovers away without expecting them to be returned.
See, wow. That? I thought your family was steadfast at the walls, protecting your vast fortune of plastic containers. But I see now that you are still charitable to the little people in the community. Thank you.
I also keep my mom's soup bowls. If she sends home like a soup bowl like with soup in it, I'll never give that bowl back. I don't even know where she gets them. They're so good.
Moms have the best soup bowls.
They do. Yeah. All right. Five Call says it all. I'm wrong. You have to return Tupperware and you have to put something in it. And I'm not down with that, but I guess we have to. Shannon Doherty is a TikTok mom. She's a viral TikTok mom. Shannon, how many followers do you have now? 17 billion?
I think 750,000.
Yeah. That is amazing. But you have come up with some very, very cool ideas, and you've been nice enough to share those with us.
You can follow Shannon at Home with Shannon. So first of all, before we get to the three great parenting hacks that you have to offer today, I wanted to go over two hacks that I saw on your TikTok page. One,
of course.
The dried out Play-Doh. I had no idea.
It's so crazy. My grandma was over and my kids were playing with Play-Doh and she actually said to me, is there a way to fix dried Play-Doh? And I'm like, let me look it up. And I could not believe it. It really worked.
All you have to do is re-wet it and then re-knead it. And then it comes back to life like original fresh Play-Doh when you first open it out of the container.
I guess that makes sense, right? I mean, it's clay in a way.
It's such a good one because there's always dried Play-Doh at my house or my kids will just leave it open.
And your lazy pickle hack, can you explain what that is? Because I think this is fake and I think you made it up.
No, it's real. It's actually trending on TikTok. So when you're eating store-bought pickles, obviously in the jar, and you have all that extra juice, just put some mini cucumbers in it overnight, back in the bottle of juice, put it in the fridge, and in the morning, the cucumbers now taste like pickles.
See, when I first started watching that hack on your TikTok page, I immediately said, oh, okay, now we're going to make dirty martinis. and that wasn't the direction you went in at all.
Snake bite shots.
I had so many people DM me on Instagram. Does this really work? It really does.
All right, great. So what are the other parenting hacks that you can take to your own home?
My children do not like to eat their veggies. So they like to eat things that are like Paw Patrol mac and cheese or anything to do with their favorite characters. So I started putting Disney Princess vegetables and different like Sesame Street stickers on the fresh veggies. So now I can convince my kids to eat, you know, Elsa broccoli or Elmo corn because now it's their fun favorite character.
You trick them. I'm not above that. That's for sure.
Right. Who is?
Elsa loves this broccoli. Look, her face is on it, super glued. What's another mom hack?
The get along shirt is a new standard in our house. If my kids are fighting with each other or, you know, arguing about something, I got a massive white t-shirt, adult size. I put get along and I make them go in it together and hang out until they'll get along.
What if our bosses did that to us, Raven?
That is
what if
funny.
Like, oh my gosh,
there's
those two are fighting again?
We're adults. There's laws against that. But when they're their kids and they belong to you, you can do whatever you want.
I get so much enjoyment out of it and they really do not like to get along.
Of course they don't.
That's the threat that really drives the point home.
Forget about the timeout chair. You want the get along shirt?
Right. There's no bluff.
Mommy need to go upstairs and get the get-along shirt. Meanwhile, I'm just getting one of my husband's old, big, giant, ugly, gross sweatshirts.
The fact that you revel in it is the part that really must kill them, right? Like, I love that, right? Because they know you're going to go get it.
I take pictures of them. They get so
oh, yeah. A little public shaming. Good. Yes. Very good.
And the last hack that we can use today for parents.
So the last one is my kids are young still, first in kindergarten, so they're always putting their shoes on the wrong feet. Now, if you cut a sticker in half and put one side on each of the shoes, they have to match the sticker to know that their shoes are going on the right feet.
I think it's also convenient for adults.
It's genius, really.
Yeah. All right. If you want to check out Shannon for yourself, you can head to her TikTok page, At Home with Shannon. Shannon, what's your Instagram handle?
At Home with Shannon. Same one. Thanks, guys.
Who chooses to pull your plug if you have to, like, if you're in a situation where, like, somebody has to decide whether you live or die?
Is my wife already gone?
Yeah, besides your wife. Your wife doesn't get to make that decision.
I've told everybody that, you know, you got to pull it.
No, but who? Who makes that decision?
Whoever's closest.
Like, just in the room?
Yeah, the janitor.
Is it me? I mean, do I get to choose?
Somebody trips over it.
Yeah.
Everybody's crying over my bed. You walk in and go, this is sad, and immediately pull the plug. You don't say anything else. You just immediately walk in, and you're like, hey,
oh,
Mrs.
My gosh,
Raven.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, it's good to see you guys. Well, you had fun. Boom, pull the plug.
That's
immediately.
That's it. Right. There's this TikToker. Her name is Grandma Droniak, and she's gone viral with a video explaining the three rules of her funeral.
These are my rules at my funeral. Listen up. You could cry, but don't cry too much. Don't make a fool of yourself.
The overcrier.
Overcrier. Like, you didn't even know him. What are you crying about? Like, relax, lady.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, what else?
Bertha is not invited. Don't let her in.
She does not like Bertha. Yeah. She's not invited to the funeral.
You know, all these people that you had a problem with before, they tend to show up when the funeral happens, right?
Yeah, no.
You know, they weren't my favorite person, but I'm so sorry for your loss.
I hear her for that.
And you better get drunk afterward. Take a shot for me.
All right, Grandma. You got it.
God bless grandkids, right? Putting Grandma on TikTok.
But I was thinking about it because my dad always brings this up. When I die, Anna.
What are his rules?
Oh, my gosh. Everything that I'm not going to do. Everything. Me and my mom have discussed this.
Yeah.
We nod and we say okay, but we're not doing any of the things that he wants at his funeral. He doesn't want a funeral. He doesn't want it.
No.
Just everybody go out and have a nice dinner. Nope, Dad. Like, no, we're definitely going to have a funeral when you eventually die.
A big one, right.
And then our boss, Keith, he brought this up the other day. He was like, I don't want people to come to my wake and feel like they have to stay. Like, walk up to the casket.
Sit 7 minutes in and out.
Yeah, he's like, I want you to be there for 7 minutes. I don't want you to have to stay longer than that.
You know what? He knows a lot of people, a lot of radio people. They'll all be in there trying to fight for mic time. You know what? I'll walk in and out. You got it, Keith.
All right, so what are the three rules of your funeral?
First off, keep it up and keep it positive. All right. So I want people to regale in stories of my heroics. If you've ever been in like an Irish or an English pub, people go in there, they sing, they tell stories and stuff like that. So I want you to discuss the times that I did, you know, awesome things, like that time I saved a school bus full of children off the cliffside, you know, the road they were hanging off there that time.
I better start making some notes because I don't have anything to share at this party.
The time that I plugged the hole in the Titanic.
Oh, right.
And then also the time that I plugged that pesky hole in the Hoover Dam, too. Mm-hmm. That was good.
You didn't do any of those things.
No. Food is key. You know, I want finger sandwiches, Coca-Cola, because I'm not allowed to drink it right now while I'm alive, and then my wife's sauce and rigatoni. And then music and dancing. Like, I need it to be up at the party after. So I don't know if, like, you know, Calvin Harris or Tiesto is available and donating their time, but these are the things that I want, my wishes.
All right. For me, you know
how about
you? You know how they always say in lieu of flowers, like, you know, make a donation?
Yes.
No, I want all the flowers. I like, give me the flowers. Why can't I have flowers?
It's
why
your last
have,
day. Give me the flowers.
Why do I have to be a hero? Like, give me, I like flowers. Don't show up in costumes. Like, I first of all, I always think it's weird when there's like a regular thing going on and somebody shows up in a costume. Like, you're a weirdo. Like, don't show up in a costume to my funeral.
Have you ever seen somebody at a funeral in a costume?
Well, I don't want it to be mine to start. And most importantly, I get creeped out when I go to wakes and I look at their hands. I always stare at their hands. Put some gloves on my hands. I don't care if they're like winter snow gloves or what kind of gloves there are. Just put some gloves on so nobody has to see my hands.
Well, the record has been kept there. These are your funeral wishes.
Right, but give me the flowers, definitely.
All the flowers.
In lieu of flowers. Get out of here with that. It's one thing when you're stressed out, because you can, for the most part, handle your stress. You know what to do. But there's nothing more stressful than when your significant other is going through an incredible amount of anxiety and stress and you want to help them out, right?
Yeah, because sometimes you know how to do it and then other times you just miss the mark. I miss the mark a lot.
So,
I don't know if it's because I don't speak the language of women or I just don't speak the language of my wife, but she usually thinks it's through lack of effort or lack of trying.
My husband does something that is very helpful.
Okay.
The problem is I don't like the way what he calls it. It makes me feel kind of like a dog in a lot of ways.
Okay, good.
But we're going to get to that in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
What are the top 5 ways to help your spouse de-stress? Okay, number 5 is words of affirmation. Remind them that they're appreciated and they're not alone, right? Just saying, I love you and I'm here with you and we're going through this together and it's okay. All right.
Okay. Tell everybody that everything's going to be okay.
Number four is do a shared hobby. Cooking, puzzles, gaming, gardening, all that.
You feel like you're accomplishing something together.
Mm-hmm.
You say to yourself, look at us. We have other things that we're great at, even if this other thing is terrible. I understand that.
Number three is cook their favorite meal. Comfort food can feel like a big hug.
Okay.
Yep.
Yesterday, I went and got pumpkin cheesecake and pizza.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like pretty good, right?
Yeah.
She's not feeling well. I figured that was a good thing.
Number two is encourage downtime. Give them space for a nap, a book, or a favorite show without any guilt.
You know, here's the thing. When my wife takes downtime, she stresses more. Is that like...
Sometimes.
You can relate to that?
Yeah, because, I could relate to that.
That's a thing that she definitely does. It's real.
Like if I want to watch a documentary and I start watching the documentary, like they're long. So sometimes an hour in, I'm like, I could have folded all the clothes. Why didn't I do
right,
that?
Right, you beat you know? Yourself up. You're
yeah.
Right.
But the number one thing that you can do to help your spouse de-stress, they say, is mindful breathing together. And I know a lot of couples are really good at this, but to me, it seems... I just can't imagine doing breathing or yoga with my husband.
Yeah.
But there's this new one that they're really saying is great for couples to do. It's called alternate nostril breathing.
What?
So alternate nostril breathing, we inhale through our left nostril to the count of four. You pinch and hold at the top, and then we exhale through our right nostril for four. One inhale and one exhale, that's a round. And we'll typically work with 10 rounds of alternate nostril breathing.
So you basically just breathe in... Hold it. Now switch your finger to the other nostril, and then you let go.
I got to be... Yeah. Like, that seems real. Yeah. That seems real weird.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I was doing it earlier.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah,
it,
I mean, but like the inhale, the inhale through the mouth and exhale through the nose seems like a good one. The left and right, I don't know. That seems like next level.
I feel like you get all the air up one nostril.
Yeah.
You hold it in your head, and then you let it go through the other nostril. It's like in with the bad... No, yeah. Out with the
in
good.
In with the good.
Out no, with the
in
bad.
In with the bad, out with the good. You know what I mean.
But right. My husband, when he wants to help me de-stress, he always says that, well, here, listen. When you say that you have to walk me, what does that mean?
Helps you move. Helps you feel better. De-stress. You know, motion is lotion.
So you think taking me for a walk helps me de-stress?
Yeah, all those things.
He says, I got to take you for a walk. Like, I'm the dog.
Motion
like,
is lotion.
Motion is lotion.
I don't know. And I can't say that I understand that one. But going for a walk is helpful.
He says.
Does it help?
Yes, it does help. Because yeah. He'll be like, you know what? Let's go for a walk. We have a trail next to our home, which is beautiful. So we'll just by the time I get out and I'm in the woods and I'm walking.
Yeah.
And I do. I feel a lot better. Uh-huh. Why we have to call it motion is lotion? And why is he has to say he's taking me for a walk like I'm a dog? I don't know. But does it work? Yes, it does work.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you have a hack to help your spouse or your significant other de-stress, what is it? 1-800-330-9999. It's never fun to watch your significant other be under a tremendous amount of stress. And the top things that you can do to help your partner when they're feeling a whole lot of anxiety, cook their favorite meal.
Okay.
Encourage them to take a nap, read a book, watch their favorite show. Don't feel guilty about it.
That makes sense. Take a load off.
And mindful breathing together. A little bit weird.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, deep breathing is good, right? It almost puts you in a meditative state. So there are worse things that you could be trying to do.
Now that I think about it, my husband keeps asking me to stretch with him. And I keep saying, no, that's dumb. And I guess I really should.
That's kind of hurtful, right?
I mean,
obviously, he believes it's got some benefits if he's doing it and asking you to do it with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's so weird. I'm like, no, I don't need to stretch with you. I can stretch by myself. Maybe he's doing it on purpose to get me to do it to de-stress.
He's thinking about you.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-330-9999. Oh, I got to think about that now. All right. What do you do to help your significant other de-stress? Sam.
When my wife is stressed, I know that there's a certain kind of food that I can pick her up that'll always make her feel better. We always get this Detroit-style deep-dish pizza. Just everything melts away. So I know what her favorite type of food is, so that always helps.
Smart.
And of course, a neck massage doesn't hurt either.
It's a good move. The food's a good move because then she doesn't have to cook on top of it. If you guys don't split the cooking or whatever. My wife, whenever I want to get in good, I'm like, I don't think you should cook tonight. Never an argument.
If my husband just came home from work, mm-hmm. right, and just texted, don't make dinner, and he showed up with my favorite dinner, I would be so happy.
Everything's good.
Takeout, it would immediately de-stress me and put me in a better mood.
You can make it to tomorrow.
Oh, gosh, that's a really smart idea.
Barry, how about you? Your spouse is all stressed out. What are you going to do to de-escalate the situation?
Well, my wife and I planned what to do, and she she loves when I do Pepe Le Pew. And so I go right to the old cartoon Pepe Le Pew and I say, oh, baby, you know I love you. Nothing is worth being upset, baby. It's me, Pepe Le Pew, and I love you so much. And she just melts. Whatever she's going through, it's just gone. It's back to happy times.
Baby talk, right?
Baby talk.
Sweet talk.
I guess.
Sweet nothings is one thing. Looking back, though, Pepe Le Pew probably should have been canceled.
I know.
Very aggressive.
Yeah.
She says no a lot of times, and no means no.
Right. There is, right? I believe there's a movement to have Pepe Le Pew canceled if he has not already been already. And most likely, if you are under the age of 40, you don't even know who that is.
Right.
And let's just keep it that way.
Right.
Right.
But he had his time.
Christine, what do you do to help your spouse de-stress when they're going through a thing?
I use a game we invented called Hello Dolly. During COVID, obviously, very stressful time for basically everybody. Mm. But we used to, since we worked from home during that time, we would go on walks on lunch break. And we found this creepy Barbie doll head in a parking lot. And we started hiding it around for each other. So we resurrect Hello Dolly. And I've even gotten a coworker of his to hide it in like his check mixed bag at the office, something about opening up a package and it's there and staring at you.
Doll's head. It's a Barbie doll's head.
Hold on. To me, this sounds a lot serial killer. I mean, what? You're just going to hide a head?
No. It's cute. It's funny. No. It's like, the garden gnome that you place in various places. But I'll say this.
Right.
I mean, you found that doll's head out in the street.
Now you can put it in the cereal box?
My Chex Mix?
Right. I had to eat that.
Now you ruined my Chex Mix. That's not funny for or my coworker. I'm mad at you both.
If it's not your husband, it's like a coworker that goes to pour out some Chex Mix and all of a sudden a doll's head falls out.
It's gross.
That's trauma.
Yeah. It's gross. I mean, glad it works for you.
Freaky. Ew. I don't know why things like this gross me out, because people in love should be joyful and happy.
You're such a prude.
I really am. Why am I the way I am?
I don't know.
Isn't it weird? So out to dinner last night with two of my girlfriends, and I meet them, and the way we're positioned, their backs are to the bar, but I am staring at the bar, right?
Right. You're looking at your friends, and therefore, over your shoulder, you can't help but see what is going on at the bar area.
And there's a woman wearing a low-cut shirt, and it is actually... it might have been a dress. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The dress, it was showing a lot of cleavage.
Okay.
And immediately...
She's on a date. Wait, who are you to judge?
I'm not judging that.
Sounds like you are.
No, I'm just saying that there was a lot going on. There was certainly a reason to impress. But the guy kept inching closer and closer. And I was like, oh, no.
But they're out on a date.
Yeah. But then they started... the hand holding on the bar, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, all right, that's all right. And then he's staring, and they're deep in the conversation, and their faces are 3 inches away from each other.
I mean, it's everything that you would want, typically, if it was your life.
No!
Frank, no.
No, I don't like PDA. You know I don't like that. I only let Paul hold my hands if we're walking on side streets. I'm afraid to get hit by a car. It's the only time.
And it sounds like a nice night, and that is insane.
Then they start kissing.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is where I'm like, it's not very busy. There's probably only our table and maybe 3 other tables in the restaurant. And I want it to be the girl that's like, get a room!
I mean, really?
But I was
really?
Like...
be a grown-up.
But why?
What's wrong with you?
Why do you have to kiss in public like that? Why can't you just enjoy your dinner, have lovely conversation, and then move on with your lives and take it somewhere else?
They weren't sitting at your table. It's their own area. And
at the bar?
Right. Well, it's them at the bar.
What if there were children there?
There weren't.
Well, there weren't. But
right.
What if there were?
Well, shield the children's eyes or let them ask questions to their parents. It's really none of your concern.
Why are those strangers making kissy face at the bar?
That's the kid's problem. And that's the parents' problem to answer that question. Is that what we have to do now? We have to regulate ourselves to make sure kids don't ask questions?
It makes me feel very uncomfortable when I watch people make out. I feel like it doesn't belong in public.
I don't know. Maybe you should look away. Tell your friends to move.
It was as hard. It was like a car crash. It's like, you want to
so
not
wacky.
Look. But the way it's positioned and this is in your line of view and you're like, oh my gosh, again.
Isn't there something wonderful about the spontaneous kiss, the leaning in, the fact that somebody is so drawn into conversation or whatever, into their partner that, they want to make that move? Come on.
There's something that's like with the quick peck and it's cute and then it's,
What? So you got to be 90 sitting on a park bench for it to be okay?
with you?
No, I just think that one is sort of like, you know what I'm talking about.
I mean,
about.
If
yes.
you if that's the face you make when you're kissing, then you're right. That should not happen in public. That is bad.
I think that certain PDA should not happen in public. And I know it sounds terribly prude. I don't know when I turned into this person, but somehow along the line, here we are.
Yeah.
What types of PDA do you think is actually okay? 1-800-330-9999. Or are you like me? You think it's never okay? You can call or text. There was this couple sitting at the bar last night. It wasn't even a busy night at the restaurant. There was like not many tables there. And they were like kissing, but not like the sweet pecking kissing. Like they were kissing, kissing. And I found it to be so repulsive that I almost couldn't eat my sandwich. Don't get me wrong, I still ate the sandwich, but for a minute, I thought about not eating it because I was so repulsed by it.
This is terrible, all right? You're the one sitting staring at them. They're not asking you to watch them as they're out on a romantic date, all right? And a peck is what you give somebody when you walk in the house after coming home from work. You're out on a romantic date, she's wearing a dress, you're feeling all good. A little kissing is okay.
I don't know. I don't think PDA is okay. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna Raven.
Yes. It's very nice to know that someone still believes in love.
Right. Thank you very much. That's nice. Yeah. Anna doesn't, by the way. Just to be clear.
I want to believe in love, but I want you to do it privately behind closed doors where I don't have to see it or hear it or smell it or anything.
Smell it? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
How about you maintain your own personal space? That won't be an issue.
I do believe in showing your love, and I do believe in showing up.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, girl. Put it out there.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you think PDA is okay?
No. We were on a vacation one time at a resort, and this couple in the pool were like straddling each other for at least an hour. It was so uncomfortable, especially because our kids were in the swimming pool too.
Ew. Oh, come on.
That's why I don't go to jacuzzis at hotels.
Okay, well.
Like, I mean, it's got to be deserted. Like, I know what's been going on there.
Yeah.
I need to smell the chlorine, like, from a block away.
Okay.
And there needs to be nobody out there. That's what I'm saying.
There definitely should never be any PDA in a pool when there's other kids there.
This is what happens when there's a pool bar, though. Right? If there's a bar in the pool, naughty things are going to happen.
Okay. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Is PDA okay? What are your thoughts on it?
Hey, guys. Okay. Well, obviously, if you're just holding hands, you know, while you're walking down the street, that's just totally fine. But honestly, if people are like fully making out in the booth at a restaurant while, like, I don't know, people are eating, that is crossing the line.
I don't like when people sit next to each other in a booth, unless you're hard of hearing. And there is like a medical reason why you have to sit directly next to the person and not across from them.
Is that because you don't know where their hands are?
Well, right. Like, what are they doing? It just seems like wildly inappropriate. Why am I so rude?
Why are you so nosy? Like, you're all in their business. Like, keep your eyes in your own booth.
I guess. I don't know. You don't think it's weird when people sit next to each other in a booth?
I think it's weird. I feel like, get over it. Come on. Have a moment of separation. Like, look at each other. You're
right.
Not touching.
Oh, you can't see each other. Like, you're just touching. You can't look into each other's eyes. Isn't that more meaningful?
Some people would say it's romantic.
Yeah,
I guess neither of those people would be you guys.
No. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. PDA. Is it okay?
You know, I honestly don't mind PDA, but as long as it doesn't, like, get too, like, grabby and feely. You know what I mean? Like, a kiss here and there is okay, but we don't need to, like, watch you shove your tongue down your partner's throat in the grocery store while I'm just, like, trying to weigh my apples.
How about those people that are, like, they're kissing, they're tongue kissing, and, like, the tongues are out the mouth. Like, the mouths are not joined, and the tongues are, like, you know, they're 2-3 inches out. It's like a pair of serpents going at it.
So nasty.
Oh. No, thank you.
Like I said, I skeeve all of it.
It's a little much at the BBQ.
Yeah.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I just don't. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy.
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is powered by 5-Hour Energy. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Sweet, fun, and full of energy. Buy now online at Amazon or use my code Anna at 5hourenergy.com. Julian and Carly. Carly, what's going on?
Well, we're having a disagreement because we're going on vacation and we're going to the Caribbean, and we both are not in our swimsuit bodies right now. And so I've suggested that we do intermittent fasting, and it's not going well for him.
Julian,
basically.
Why?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's not going well. I'm just not doing it. Like, I don't want to do this at all. Like, her idea that we're going to lose weight, she wants to try intermittent fasting, and I'm all for it if she wants to do it, but I'm not going to do it. Like, she wants to, like, starve me, basically.
I don't think you're getting starved.
I mean, I don't know if you know how this works, but it's basically, like, you can only eat for a certain window. So it's like 18 hours a day, you don't eat, and then you eat for in like 6 hours. So she wants to like not eat up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So then she's like trying to cook dinner at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon because you can only eat for the next few hours. And then she's mad at me if I like eat before or after or whatever. Like, I'm fine if she wants to do it, but like, this just seems ridiculous to me.
Are you forcing him to do it, Carly? Is that why he's all worked up and upset about it?
You can't force somebody not to eat, but like, I suggested we do it together because it's just motivating. I mean, it's like, I thought we can both stand to lose some weight, you know. I mean, let's be honest.
I just want to do it. Yeah, I understand. I'm way overweight, but I'm totally happy with it. We're married. What am I losing weight for? I don't care if I have pictures in the Caribbean where I like look fat. Like, I'm not doing this stupid diet. It's so dumb. Like, I'm not going to starve to death. This is her thing.
Okay, well, and it's a proven thing that, like, it does work for most people that, like, need to drop weight, you know, so I don't know.
Why do we need to drop weight? What are we, like, swimsuit models? What difference is it?
I don't know. It matters. Well, I want us to be healthy, too. No, I have 30 pounds to lose. You have, you know, 50 pounds to lose. Like, we're not, like, that big of a deal. We're going to eat in that six-hour window, and that's what we should do.
I don't want to lose any weight. You want to lose weight. I don't care. So I don't want to do your dumb diet. I don't know why you're forcing me to do it.
I mean, it brings up a couple interesting points. One, just because your significant other is doing a diet and wants you to do it with them, should you be forced to do it with them? And two, is Julian being unreasonable, where clearly you admit that you have weight to lose, he doesn't want to lose the weight, do you force him to try to go on any diet at all?
Well, I find, you know, the fact that we talk about proven results, I would just say that, is it really proven for everybody, right? Yeah. I mean, every one of these diets seems like it's some sort of a fad to me. Nutrition is kind of the key. But if you don't want to do it, you can't force somebody to do it.
Well, unless you can. How many times has Alicia, your wife, Raven, forced you to eat healthy at home?
If she tried not feeding me after 4 or 5 in the afternoon, there would be a serious problem.
Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with Julian that, Carly, you just can't. You can't force him to do the intermittent fasting. You can't force him to lose weight. You have to kind of accept him how he is, and when he's ready to make a change, he will, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. But maybe they see your side, too. You're just looking out for your best interest. There is a lot of science that the intermittent fasting works. I have a friend that's doing really well on it right now. Like, what's the harm in just trying it out for a week and seeing if you feel better, seeing if you drop any weight?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
The most interesting part of today's Couples Court is everybody on our text line that are telling me they're also doing intermittent fasting and how it works. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of research in it. But anyway, that's not the issue. The issue here is Julian and Carly have a vacation planned. And Carly says, this is the motivation that we need. We have to lose some weight. We've been unhealthy. We've got this trip coming up. Why don't we both do this intermittent fasting? But Julian has a real problem with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, he just thinks it's crazy that he has to wait all morning to eat until the time that this window opens up. And then he's got to eat everything in this short amount of time, and then he can't eat anything after that. He says, this is not how I want to do this. I'm perfectly comfortable in my own skin. Could I lose a couple pounds? Sure, but I don't feel bad about myself, and I'm looking forward to the vacation regardless.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. John, you're on his side. Why?
She's fat-shaming him. This is not right. Dude, don't let anybody. I happen to be in very good shape. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you need to lose weight, you need to gain weight, you need to do what you do what you want to do, and you can still get rid of her.
You could get rid of her.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Julian and Carly have a Caribbean vacation coming up, and both of them admit that they could lose a little bit of weight. So Carly has an idea. She wants them both to do intermittent fasting. But Julian is not on board. The Couples Court is powered by 5-Hour Energy. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Sweet, fun, and full of energy. Buy now online at Amazon or use my code Anna at 5hourenergy.com.
He says it's a forced diet he never asked for. He's ready to go on vacation, excited about the trip, but he's totally happy with the way that he looks. Does he know he's overweight? Yes, but he says this diet is nuts. This is not how I want to do it. I'm not interested in losing weight right now.
But can you force somebody to go on a diet with you? What if it's your spouse? 1-800-330-9999. Rob, whose side are you on?
His side, absolutely. I'm overweight myself. I know I can stand to lose a few pounds, but this is controlling. It's bordering body shaming because she wants them to look good when they go on this vacation. It doesn't sound like she wants to do it in general. She's only doing it because they're going on this Caribbean vacation. I don't see this ending well.
You know, sometimes it's hard when somebody is resistant and the other one wants to drag you. Yesterday, my wife saw two chocolate egg wrappers in the trash. And she said, so you're just not going to eat healthy during the week. Huh? You're just not going to do that. And then she like guilted me. It was like interrogation while we're standing in the kitchen.
Right.
Because I had two chocolate eggs. I needed those chocolate eggs.
Okay. All right.
I needed them.
I'm not going to argue with you. Hey, Natalie, whose side are you on?
On the guy's side. Because I think that he has a right to choose whether or not he wants to diet. And the lady needs to calm down so that he doesn't start to resent her.
You know, it's definitely good, obviously, to get healthy at any time. On the other hand, you know, the last caller's kind of got a point, too, right? Like, I mean, shaming, not feeling good about yourself, that's not positive support.
I know, but there's also something to be said that if, like, your spouse is telling you, hey, we need to get healthy, hey, we need to lose weight, I mean, whether or not it's just for this trip or for life in general, you should probably listen to them. They're the person that's most honest with you, right?
Hey, Kelly, whose side are you on today?
I'm on his side. If she was doing it for health reasons, then I would understand, but she's just doing it for vacation. I will tell you this, though. My husband's been doing intermittent fasting, and it does work. He lost 50 pounds on it. But I feel like if he was doing it just to go on vacation, he was going to gain it right back on vacation anyway.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Julian, our audience agreed with you today. Carly, you can't force
Thank
him.
Thank God.
You can do it all you want for yourself, but you can't make him do your diet, and you can't make him lose weight if his heart's not into it.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, it would have been nice to try to do it as a united, you know, couple, but yeah, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to make somebody try to be better. Like, they have to want to do it, so.
You're going to be all right with this, Julian, on the beach? You're not going to have any regrets? Well, she's
no, I'm not going to have any regrets. This is not a me problem. I'm thrilled that I'm right in this. Like that. I'm not starving to death for this.
Instead of a walk on the beach, it'll be more like a nap in the chair.
That's my kind of vacation anyway.
You know
she knows
what?
That.
I get it.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCore@annaandraven.com. It's the week you could beat Raven, replaying all our favorite times that Raven lost, like this one.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,400. All right, Leslie, you ready to do this today?
I am ready.
All right, I love it. I like the confidence. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. $2,400. Here we go.
Here we go.
Leslie.
All right. Raven's walking out of here. Kicking the door for whatever reason. Okay, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions, Leslie. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Remember, if you're not sure, just take a guess. Go with your gut, okay?
Okay.
Number one, Zoe Saldana just beat Scarlett Johansson as being the highest box office earner because of the new movie she's currently starring in with the Navi. What movie is that?
Avatar, Fire and Water, or Fire and Ash.
Number two, the cookie company Crumble confirms that they are testing donuts to add to their line. What coffee chain of restaurants use the slogan, "It's time to make the donuts"?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Number three, Beast Games Season 2, created by Mr. Beast, is now streaming on Prime Video. What is Mr. Beast's real first name?
Jimmy Donaldson.
Number four, WWE's Monday Night Raw has reached 340 million views in its first year on Netflix. The show ranked in the top 10 for 51 weeks in the U.S. What female wrestler was known as the ninth wonder of the world?
China.
At number five, what comedian and TV host has agreed to host the Grammys for the sixth and final time?
Ricky Gervais.
Okay. Okay. You did so good. Where is he? Raven!
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yo.
4 out of 5 for Leslie.
Wow. Okay. Could be your money. Let's see how I do.
Yeah. Number one, Zoe Saldana just beat Scarlett Johansson as being the highest box office earner because of the new movie she's currently starring in with the Navi. What movie is that?
Avatar, Fire and Ash.
Yes. Number two, the cookie company Crumbl confirms that they are testing donuts to add to their line. What coffee chain of restaurants use the slogan, "It's time to make the donuts"?
It's Dunkin'.
Yep. Number three, Beast Game Season 2, created by Mr. Beast, is now streaming on Prime Video. What is Mr. Beast's real first name?
Gosh, I think this is going to be your money today. Andrew?
No, it's Jimmy Donaldson. They had both. They had first and last.
Wow, okay. Pretty impressive. Here we go.
Number four, WWE's Monday Night Raw has reached 340 million views in its first year on Netflix. What female wrestler was known as the ninth wonder of the world?
Oh, gosh. My friend's going to be so mad at me. I'm going to take a shot, but I think that you're going to be $2,400 richer. Nina Lawless?
No, China. Oh, congratulations, Leslie. You just won $2,400. Just like that, you became our first winner of 2026. Congratulations.
Excellent.
Who's over there helping you?
A mysterious stranger who doesn't want to be named.
Okay. Wow, okay.
Fair enough. Do they get a cut of this cash? No, they do not get a cut of the cash then.
All right, question number five.
What comedian and TV host has agreed to host the Grammys for the sixth and final time?
Trevor Noah.
Yes.
He ain't funny anyways. Get out of here.
4-3 to Leslie. Congratulations, Leslie. You just won all this cash. $2,400.
Thank you. Oh, it's Leslie, and I just beat Raven.
Leslie, what are you going to do with all that cash?
My son's getting a cut of the action.
All right, that's fair. Hello. Money to your kids. That's that's it.
A cut, though. I love that we don't name the percentage. Yeah. Tomorrow we start all over again. Great game.
Yeah, hold on, Leslie. We'll get all your info. And we want to thank George. He supplied one of the questions we used today. Actually, the one that Raven got wrong, too. So that worked out well. If you have an idea for a question, too, head to annonraven.com. Submit it there.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.